For great shows, or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, welcome back to the Mastercast, the Manchester United Tactical Podcast. I'm your host, Haydar Rabbani. I'm joined by Rob Blanchett. As always, Manchester United have won against West Ham. What an absolutely fantastic performance for me as a whole. I thought United worked very hard. They were very good tactically. They were a well-oiled system, Rob. I like the fluidity and the dynamism of the performance yesterday. And obviously, the last-minute goal. You can never not enjoy a last-minute goal like that. It felt like a bit of a turning point for Manchester United. But before we go into it, we've got a lot to go through today. As always, guys, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Give us a follow on at TF Mastercast. Give myself a follow on at Haydar underscore Rabbani. And give Rob a follow on at underscore Rob underscore B. Rob has a little bit of a sore throat today. I'm not surprised because he is absolutely been screaming from the rafters at Old Trafford. What a performance for me. I really enjoyed that. Ranick's best game since he's come in. Fantastic result. And great to see Rashford on the score sheet again.
Well, you're all just about to hear from my voice that the 93rd minute was a fantastic moment for all of us in the stands, people that follow this football club their whole lives. And obviously it's not been particularly great, has it, in recent times. So kind of reminded me of Michael Owen's 4-3 winner in the derby match years ago, where we just kind of all completely lost it, and we completely lost it yesterday. But as you're saying, Haydar, I think all the positives are there to be seen. I think that in my head, I was already doing the speech of it was a goalless draw, but maybe our best performance under Ranick. But you win 1-0 because you kept going, because you kept fighting, because you kept on the front foot. You did all the right stuff yesterday. And the benefits of that, from what we were saying, even just 2, 3, 4 games ago, we talk about how Ranick was struggling to find a system. The boys were struggling to kind of interpret tactics. Too slow, too fast, too wild, too nothingness sometimes. Yesterday, you got the balanced display from start to finish. It's a game Manchester United dominated. You know, I've seen some people say it wasn't a particularly good game. I think it was a really good game. You're playing a really useful West Ham side that if you give them a little bit, you give them an inch, they will take a yard. That's what they're like. But Manchester United did the job yesterday. And I think that at the end of the day, West Ham might feel they deserved a point. But as I said, I think Manchester United deserved 3 points.
Really, really important to emphasise how good this West Ham side has been playing this season. They're a side that beat Liverpool at Anfield, I believe. They're a side to, you know, been scoring goals for fun. They've scored more goals than United. I believe they're fourth in the standings out of the top scorers in the league. Jarrod Bowen has been in red hot form, probably one of the most informed players in the league. Antonio, we do an FPL show. Antonio is sitting at the top, isn't he, Rob, in terms of his effectiveness in matches. And we reduce them. Bowen, one shot, I can remember. Antonio, one shot. The only chance I can think of where West Ham, you know, looked dangerous was that one chance, the header from Suchek with that corner. Where Man United probably need to improve on, and we'll talk about that, is the creativity side of it, more clear-cut chances. But in terms of control, Ranick's buzzword, we controlled the game completely. And really from the defensive display, that was the most important thing. I loved that defensive control, the defensive structure, the compactness. One of the best performances defensively in a long time for me. But let's look at the graphic on the screen. And this is the graphic from who scored the lineups. Now, it says 4-2-3-1 here. And a lot of people think when you play 4-2-3-1, double pivot, defensive double pivot. United haven't played an Oli 4-2-3-1 at all. We're saying it's a 4-1-4-1. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Why was it 4-1-4-1 as opposed to a 4-3-3 like a lot of people are asking?
The best teams don't have a system. What they have is tactics. So that means within your tactics, your system can change and evolve almost minute to minute, as long as you kind of know what you're doing. So, you know, who scored graphic here says 4-2-3-1. It wasn't a 4-2-3-1. It was more of a 4-1-4-1 across the whole of the game, but it started off as a 4-2-2-2. That's the system we know. what we're seeing now is these players now know how to play that system. So United fans watching the club, obviously, since Ranić came into the team, see that that 4-2-2-2 appears very narrow, both on paper and in reality. And it's like, how do you make that a proper system? Well, the way that they've made that proper system become effective is by having a single pivot. There's no double pivot anymore. This is not a double pivot team. Fred will still go and do defensive work, of course, but it is a 4-1-4-1 in shape and principle. And it allows United to have width. It allows United to dominate the centre. It allows the fullbacks to start much higher up than they ever did in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's 4-2-3-1. So I don't want to call it a 4-2-3-1 simply because of that reason. So that Man United fans think 4-2-3-1 means double pivot or it means Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It doesn't. There are times when the shape might go towards a 4-2-3-1, but what's interesting is that at the back there, in Ole's time, 4-2-3-1 meant six defenders, four attackers. That's what it meant, yeah, in terms of how United would try to play. That's gone. That isn't what it is anymore. You know, you're seeing Bruno Fernandes play much higher up the pitch like he did against Brentford in the second half, and that was key. And you're seeing that Scott McTominay is playing more screening and dropping deeper to create a three at the back. And that three allows Delo and Tellez license to get forward, then allows Greenwood and Alanga to also get into the box. So in terms of balance and execution, the system that he's playing now really, really allows Manchester United to breathe in a football match. The issue, of course, as you touched on right at the start, is the final third. So how do you get the ball in the box to score goals? That's still a problem, but I don't think it's a big problem. I think at the moment, when you've got players who are goal scorers and who like being in the box, when you get to that function of keeping your defence strong, your midfield in control, you're winning the ball back, which I think is the biggest part of all of this, is winning the ball. And Ranić's talked about that so much. Then I'm not so worried, because if you get Ronaldo the ball in the box, I still would gamble on Cristiano. You give him the ball from 12 yards, I think Cristiano's going to hit the target. I think Bruno will hit the target. I think Greenwood will hit the target. I think Rashford will hit the target. But you've got to do all the work first in midfield and in defence.
Really, really important point about the defensive side of things. We've been criticising these players, haven't we, Rob, really all season in terms of attitude, in terms of motivation and effort. But you got to also give your flowers to them. They were fantastic yesterday. They all worked extremely hard. They all understood their roles, which is really important as well. I mean, there's a great comment here from Charlie saying, after the thrashings under the last manager, I pleaded, give me structure, give me organisation and defensive solidity. Yet yesterday when it happened and in the second half, I wanted more from the attack. It's all about building blocks and foundations. We always say on this show, don't get too high, don't get too low. But the foundations, and this was one of the first things I said when Ranić came in, please, just give me a defensive structure. Give me some defensive solidity. Make us difficult to beat. Make it hard for opposition to create chances and to score goals. We haven't always seen that, let's be honest. You know, we against Brentford in that first half, in the last game, United were giving so many chances away. But what we're starting to see now is that the players are understanding their roles. We are more compact. Winning the ball back in packs, that's really, really important, high up the pitch. That first half especially, I was seeing United are counter-pressing. And that is really, really important, because that's such a fundamental part of, you know, Ranić's methodology or his philosophy. And so, you know, the graphic we've got here is the 4-2-2-2. And I'm just going to move it on now to the 4-1-4-1. Let's talk about this a little bit. I want to touch on Fred and McTominay, because Fred, since Ranić has come in, is the second highest assist maker for Manchester United. He's got three assists. And we've seen it that when you get him further forward, we're starting to see a little bit more of an end product. We saw with the pass for Alanga's goal against Brentford. You know, he's definitely, we're starting to play more to his strengths. His strengths have always been, you know, in terms of off the ball, he harries, he can pressure, he can tackle. The biggest issue, though, with Fred has been on the ball. When you have him deeper towards goal, his touch, maybe his technical fundamentals aren't the best there. But when you get him further forward, he's actually a really good asset to this side. Is he the answer for Manchester United long-term if they want to win titles? Probably not. But Ranić seems to be getting the most out of Fred and McTominay in their positions. And McTominay as well, you know, he had a great game against Brentford in that second half. And yesterday, he's very, very good playing in that sort of deeper role. I'm not going to say a screening role, because, you know, it's not a traditional sit there and just screen, but both those players have almost evolved under Ranić, and that's what you want to see. And then Bruno, you're getting more out of Bruno as well when he's further forward.
Yeah, I think with Fred, just to pick up on that, we bought Fred as a number eight. That's what Fred was. You know, we wanted him to come to be a number eight. He wasn't coming to United to be a traditional number six. So Ole used him in the double pivot. We know why. We kind of don't need to kind of go over those coals. I think what's interesting about this system, you just talk about McTominay there and Bruno. I've seen in one of the comments there, someone said there about Bruno was sometimes in the number six position. So why was that? That's because this system is fluid. It means that if someone is out of position, you fill in. So what we saw yesterday, why was Bruno as a number six? Because I clocked that in the game. I went, that's interesting. He's now the number six and has been for 2 minutes. Wonder what they're doing. So I kind of looked at it. And the reason for that was that Ronaldo was getting man-marked. So Ronaldo went and stood on the left wing, pulled the defender out there. And Alanga went from the left wing into the centre and pulled his marker into there. And that meant that Bruno, rather than being the number 10 or kind of, you know, floating eight, however you wanted to describe it, went and sat as number six to go and pull some strings, allowing McTominay and Fred to go and be number eights. That's real football. That is Premier League football, is that you go and do the job that's needed at the time. You don't go, I'm a number 10, that's all I'm doing today. Oh, I'm Cristiano Ronaldo, I'm number 9, that's all I'm doing today. You tactically work the opponent. So Cristiano went left, Alanga went centre, Bruno went deep. Hallelujah, tactics. That's why they did it. But they didn't do it long. They did it for 2 or 3 minutes. West Ham worked it out. Then they went back to the shape. That's why this 4-1-4-1 works. It allows United to get players in the correct positions. Yes, we need to see better finishing. That will come. But the fundamentals are now there. This 4-1-4-1 from a 4-2-2-2 starting point, which allows you to go and do lots of things across the football pitch, is key. And as I said just at the start there, ball winning. Manchester United can now win the ball. Man United 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, 1 year ago, couldn't win a ball. They were terrible at combative stuff. Now they pair up, they set traps, they get the ball, they move the ball. And we'll look at the average positions in a minute, because I think the average positions give you a little bit more of a kind of balance of what you see on a football pitch, what they're trying to do, but they're creating lots of connections in the centre of the park. And that means that when you win the ball, you can pass it 5 yards and get going. What have we seen under Ole? You'd get the ball and what would they do? 40-yard Hollywood pass into the stands. That would happen too much. So we're seeing now more, I don't know, it's not progressive football, it's the opposite. It's not anti-football. We're seeing more controlled football. And that's what I wanted to see. And I think that's what you were saying you wanted to see as well. It's just having a plan and executing that plan.
Absolutely. And guys, look, there's so many of you now listening to the show with us live. If you see this on Twitter, give it a retweet. We want to get as many people as possible listening to the show, getting involved, getting your questions in. We want to hear all different sort of opinions, because there are a lot of people that didn't really enjoy yesterday. And I want to know why. Myself and Rob want to know why. And we want to discuss it with you, because
I enjoyed everyone it. Has can you hear?
Yeah, I mean, Rob's pretty much, you might have to clock out. It might just be me on the show because the voice is gone. But Rob, well, look, great performance and we've got to cover it. But Rob, I'm going to bring up a comment here from Charlie about Declan Rice. Obviously, he made some of those comments saying that Old Trafford is one of his favourite grounds to play at. That is one player, though. I mean, we forget about the comments, because I think, you know, I didn't really look too much into it. I think he's a Chelsea boy. I think he's going to go to Chelsea if they want him. But I would absolutely love him. He's a stunningly good player. And he would fit into the system like a glove in that position. The amount of times, I remember very early on in the match when Bruno had the ball, and you could just see, I was thinking man on, you could see that Rice was coming for him, and Bruno was sort of near the edge of the box, and he just completely dispossessed him, powered past and went for the shot. But he is a very, very good player who would fit in this system extremely well.
He would. And he, you know, his comments were that he enjoys playing at Old Trafford, one of his favourite grounds. I do remember Jack Grealish saying that about 12 months ago, exactly the same, that he loved Old Trafford and blah, 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 blah. Now plays for Manchester City. So it's one of those things. But I think that Declan Rice had a really good game. What was interesting is that, even though we're talking about systems, we're talking about matchups, them having Declan Rice didn't give West Ham a better chance of winning the game. Yeah, so this is, I think, a few weeks ago, we'd have seen that Declan Rice would have carved through United's midfield through the middle, and we'd have been sat here doing a show about how Declan Rice destroyed Man United's midfield. Didn't happen. United's midfield was controlled, kept the ball, and won the ball back in good areas. You know, they were not winning the ball back on the edge of their box. They were winning the ball back much higher up around the centre circle and then getting going. And that makes Declan Rice having to be a more defensive function, which is kind of what he does, but he wants to be on the front foot as well. So I think that Declan Rice would fit the system, of course, really, really well. But then you've got to decide whether you want to pay 80 to £100 million to have a player that does that, or do you fix the other pieces with more kind of progressive incomings? So do you kind of then rely on someone like Hannibal to maybe do a little bit more of the technical work? You know, do you bring him in? Do you kind of squeeze the system a little bit more to get more out of other players? You know, there's still plenty of options for United and plenty in the transfer market that will make this version of Man United better. And it might mean that you don't want to pay 100 million to Declan Rice, but you might go and spend 20, 30, 40 million on two or three individual midfielders a piece that make you even better. That means you go and play West Ham. West Ham can have Declan Rice in their team, but you beat them. And that's what happened yesterday.
You know, I'm still missing one player in that midfield that can control and settle things down in the middle of the park. Course. I still firmly believe that. You can see that. And that's probably why when you see United play, although when we talk about control, I don't think we had that control in terms of, you know, when Scholesy used to play and United just used to dictate that tempo of the game, you know, they would slow it down to speed it up. I think where United had control was they had defensive control, which is also very important. There's two facets to control. It's not just on the ball, it's off the ball. And that's why you see United are very end-to-end, aren't they, Rob? You know, you see United attack, then West Ham sometimes attacking. And this is something that you do see in the games when United play, just because of the fact they don't have a Jorginho maybe in midfield or a Carrick or someone like that to control the game. I do actually want to bring up a comment here, Rob. A question here. It's a good question. Can you explain the difference between 4-3-3 and 4-1-4-1 in terms of the role of those two midfielders and two wide men?
Okay, so in a 4-3-3, let's take the traditional shape of it in the Premier League. Let's take Liverpool. So what do you do in a 4-3-3? What's the traditional side of being able to get on the front foot? The idea is that you press with a high line, two banks of three, but it's much more fluid. So the three behind the front three will go and do the defensive work, close down channels, win the ball back and get you going. So you can play almost as a front six. Man United haven't got the nuance to do that yet. Yeah, so if United were playing as a 4-3-3, like you just said there about personnel, United haven't really got the personnel to do it yet. It's the ultimate game. Like if you can play 4-3-3, but all you do for the time being is you play 4-1-4-1. It gives you much better shape at the back. It means that you can play the counter press. So this is what Ranić wants to do. This is all about what a manager is trying to achieve and how he's using system and shapes within games to achieve the tactic. So the tactic is to counter press, win the ball quickly, and then 2, 3, 4 passes you score. So take the Man United goal. So it's in the 93rd minute of the match. The ball is with Telles' feet at left back. He clips the ball into Ronaldo. There's a little bit of a deflection. Ronaldo chests the ball down, gets it on the deck. Ronaldo looks up, slides the ball quickly into Martial. Martial gets the ball, doesn't panic, goes into the box and does a really, really smart little clever move that no one's mentioned yet, but he leans into the right. He leans into the right to collapse the defence because the defence then goes, bang, he's going to shoot. I'm going to tighten up. And then what did he do? He played it on the outside on the overlap. Cavani gets the ball. Cavani can then shoot, doesn't shoot, looks up, plays the ball to Rashford. You win the game. That all happened in about 10 seconds, 5 to 10 seconds.
Ranić ball, verticality, ball. Four passes.
Every ball going forward without fail. No messing. You know, Cavani's ball was a sideway pass, but it's not. It's the pass that gets you the goal. So Cavani could have blasted it there, tried to go across the goalkeeper or hit the top corner, do a little bit of Hollywood. And we'd have all gone, oh, what a good move. But we've forgotten about it the following day because we drew 0-0. That move won you the game. But that's what Man United were trying to do the whole match. It's just that they weren't very successful. But I think the other side of it, Haydar, is that Man United yesterday on 80 minutes were finished. They were knackered. And we could see it. They were all like chugging away. Scott McTominay's legs were gone. You could see the defence was like, we can't run the ball out anymore. The fullbacks were getting tight, all of that stuff. And you could see the game was ended. But what did they do? They kept going. And on the 83rd minute, I was looking at Ranić. He's directly opposite me. And he was going, move. And it reminded me of like old school Fergie, like standing in the box and willing the team forward. And he was going, go. And he made the substitutes. Because he was saying, I'm going to win this game. I'm not looking at a 0-0 draw. Let's be honest. United would have taken a draw in this 6 weeks ago. but he wanted to win the game and he was pushing his team forward and his team kept going. And it's the first time this season I've seen United play for 93 minutes. They've never done it. They've always got to a point where they've gone, well, we're done now. So I think that was the huge positive in this game is that you've got the counter press, you've got the verticality, you've got the ball movement. Yeah, the finishing still wasn't great. I think in the last 10 minutes, we were shooting from long distance. Telles had one, Delo had one. We're all there going, what are you doing? But it's better, isn't it? It's so much better than what we have been seeing this season.
I just want to look at this graphic as well, because that basically encapsulates everything that you just said and everything we've been talking about. I mean, look, average pass streak, 5 passes. That's Rangnick ball. Win the ball back, 8 to 10 seconds, or within 8 seconds, you go and try and score. That's when the opposition is most vulnerable to attacks. Looking at the total passes here, 572, 501 short passes. That's actually quite staggering. I didn't realize how many short passes. We don't go long very often. We don't play the switch ball, the Hollywood ball. You know, we did that a lot under Ollie, and you know, while we did have some success, but it's also about keeping the ball on the deck now under Rangnick. I mean, some of the things, the through balls, not many through balls. We still lacked, I think we lacked retention that final third. And we'll talk about some players that gave us retention. And Martial was one of them. You've got Pogba and Sancho to come back. And that's why it's quite exciting, because United are starting to sort of get the bones of Rangnick's system now, aren't they? Especially defensively. So when you start adding these players with, you know, let's say the technical quality or the security, then we should be a better side in theory. But Rob, let's sort of move on now to the shape. Mm-hmm. Now, this is very, very important. Very, very important. And we're going to talk through this today. Now, look how high the fullbacks are, firstly.
Yep.
And look how compact we are. There's not much space in between the lines. And this is very, very key, because when United win the ball back like they were, then they can play those short passes and get forward.
Yeah, as you say, compact, but actually spaced correctly. So there's times when you're playing in a football match and everything's too bunched. And if you're one of the players on the pitch, you're constantly telling people, go away from me. So we were getting that early in the season. I spoke a lot about Mason Greenwood telling Ronaldo to get away from him at one point in one match. And Ronaldo kind of going, who are you? So what we saw there yesterday, so this is this chart that you've got on here is the average positions of the players. So over 93 minutes, this is where each individual player played most zonally. So as you said there, you can see that the fullbacks are very wide and very high. You can see that Fred is dropping in to help when he needs to help. And you're seeing at the top end of the pitch that Bruno and Ronaldo are almost holding hands. They're the guys playing there. So that is a 4-2-2-2. The shape you can see on the system on your screens here now is a fundamental 4-2-2-2. You've got no wingers. They are inverted. You've got two forwards. They're not real strikers, but they're playing high up on a high line. And then you've got your two number kind of sixes doing that function. So that's why you could call that as 4-2-3-1. You could call it many different things, but it is fundamentally Ralph Rangnick's Red Bull 4-2-2-2. And it's so good that in this shape, that they are creating connections in the passing. So you talk about through balls. Football isn't about through balls. You know, no one picks the ball up as a number six and plays a raking 50-yard through ball to the striker anymore. Those days have gone. Manchester City don't do that. Kevin De Bruyne doesn't do that. You know, this is not how midfields operate when they're operating on their functionality. What they do is they play close together and they play one-twos, quick balls to feet. They work through the lines quickly. So, of course, we talked about Fred and McTominay a lot, don't we, that their passing isn't good. This shape allows them to be okay not being good on the ball. Because what do they do? Look where McTominay is there. When he gets the ball there, he's got a 5-yard pass to Bruno, a 5-yard pass to Mason. He could turn, 5-yard pass back to Varane. He's got Fred right next to him to protect him if he loses the ball. Or he could be a bit more expansive and clip the ball wide left to Telles or to Elanga. And that happened in the game. That happened a lot in the game. So this is why we want to explain these things, because I don't think football fans on the TV screen ever see this stuff, because it's really difficult to work it out on the screen. But you could see it in the ground and then you can see it in the stats after the match.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think key bits here as well is that when you're looking at Cristiano Ronaldo as well, I thought he worked really hard yesterday, Rob. He did what he had to do. This system works around him. And one of the key things about Ronaldo yesterday is he was getting very involved in the build-up. He was dropping deeper. When you've got and that was quite key because it also allowed, you know, these wide players, you know, Alanga and Greenwood to get forward. But almost with Ronaldo is that he's not going to hold up the ball, is he? He's not going to be someone that you can play off. But when he does drop deeper and it allows, you know, players, the rotations are very key. Something we said about Ollie's team against Leeds in that first game of the season, the rotations were beautiful, weren't they? You saw when Mason dropped, you saw Bruno go forward and go past to make those third man runs. What you saw, though, yesterday was a lot of rotations, a lot of fluidity, a lot of dynamism. And I just thought Ronaldo really worked. And while he didn't score, he was a key part in that goal. And there's a good question here sort of asking, you know, with the 4-1-4-1, could Scott, Bruno and Pogba work? Interesting with Paul Pogba. We'll touch on Paul Pogba because he is coming back. He's a player I'm very excited to see in this system. Where do you think Pogba will be playing under Ranić?
I think that in this system, I'm kind of thinking about ball control and what you want to do. Because you're not playing a double pivot, you could play Pogba as one of the sixes. So in functionality, and we look at the average positions we've got on here, Fred and McTominay is still quite close together on average. But if you take Fred out and you put Pogba in there, Pogba can do that role, but then with bells and whistles on it. So Pogba could then be this, like a floating eight. Now, Pogba's talked about the floating eight role at the start of the season and last season, about how he likes to be able to go left. He likes to get on the edge of the box. This system would allow him to do that. And you're upgrading, aren't you, two midfielders in Fred and McTominay in the shape with someone like Paul Pogba. So I keep hearing the same stuff from United fans about Paul Pogba. Get him out of the club. He's a disease. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like problem number 17 on Man United's list, really is. If you get him back and you get him fit and he plays for the next 6 months and you put him in this system, you can play him in two or three different roles and they're all roles that he's good at. Much better than playing in a double pivot for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which he wasn't good at.
And you're playing long balls as well. He's playing.
And then, of course, you're playing. Yeah, like you just mentioned the Leeds game. And the reason why the Leeds game felt good was that it was all hot air football. It was all individual brilliance. Yeah, let's play into the channels. Let's get one touch, bang, goal. You know, great. And you feel good. But it's not real football. Yeah, and this is what I was worried about at the start of the season. I remember the Newcastle game when I was saying to people, I'm not happy about this. And people were like, oh, but you've won the game. You know, you've scored so many goals. I was like, yeah, but the connections are not there. They're not doing normal stuff. Now, finally, under this coach, they're doing normal stuff. Put the ball on the deck, progress it 5, 10, 15 yards quickly with one or two passes, and then you're on the back four. Man United have not done that for forever. They've not done it. They didn't do it under Jose. They didn't do it under Van Gaal. They certainly didn't do it under Ole. This is the first time we're actually seeing modern systems and modern tactics being employed at Manchester United.
It's very, very important. And this is something that I said to you off air. I said that what I like to see is I don't want to see Bruno Fernandes going and getting 20 goals, 20 assists a season, and then the rest of the team isn't functioning and we're so heavily reliant on one player.
Yeah.
It should be a situation where you take a player out of the system, and that's what City and Liverpool do.
Yeah.
Liverpool haven't got the deepest squad, and you take out the sort of the Salah and Mane, and they're still winning games, Rob. You know, they've got Jota, Firmino and Oxlade-Chamberlain. But because the system is king for me always, and this is what I want to see. I think as Manchester United fans, we haven't probably seen the importance, or maybe not the importance, but the quality and the strength of a system probably since Sir Alex's days, where you take a player out, you put another player in, and the quality should not be a massive dramatic drop. And while we saw some good football under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, what was a bit worrying is that when you took one or two players out of the team that were key, the quality and the levels would just drop. And that's where we have to get to. We have to get to a point where the system is so strong, the players are so well-drilled, players understand the individual roles better, that the whole system remains functional, seamless, and it remains, you know, little changes in terms of quality when you take out someone like Bruno and you put in, let's say, a Van der Beek. Obviously, they have different qualities, but they should know their roles to be able to, to be able to play well, essentially. But what I do want to say here, I mean, there's a question here. Why do you have a Ronaldo agenda? He dropped deep and link up play, dropping deep means he's not getting service. Ronaldo's in the striker, left winger playing striker to accommodate him. Rob, I'm going to let you answer that because there is a lot of chatter that you have a Ronaldo agenda. I don't always agree with what you say about Ronaldo, but a lot of people do seem to think you have an agenda. So I'll let you answer that question.
People think I have an agenda because if I criticise him for anything ever, then I'm anti-Cristiano. I thought Cristiano played really well yesterday. I thought that his chest pass for the Brentford goal was fantastic. I like Cristiano doing these things. So like you're saying there about he doesn't really drop deep, he doesn't play with his back to goal, one of those things. He does. So yesterday he did. And the reason why it's good is that he's then part of the team play. He's not the guy stood at the top of a 4-2-3-1 isolated with no one near him for 20 yards, just standing on the last man, because that's what he was doing. So I don't really like, I get kind of frustrated that people don't understand what I'm saying about Cristiano, is that it's not a personal attack on Cristiano at all. Cristiano needs to do things for the team first and not for him on his own. And that was what he was doing under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, for the whole of the start of the season, he was doing what he wanted to do. He wasn't integrated in the team play. Now, you can blame Ole for that. You can partly blame his teammates for that. But I think the weight has to be carried by Ronaldo. Now what's happening is that you've got a coach that's saying, yep, you're great, Cristiano. You can do this, this, and this, but you need to play my system. If you don't play my system, you do not play. So with 20 minutes to go in that last Brentford game, he rightfully got pulled because he was knackered and you had to keep the system going. So like you there talked about it, formations are fluid, tactics are solid. So you play your tactics and you work your formation around your tactics. If Cristiano can't do the tactics for whatever reason, he might have a stubbed toe, he might just not be feeling it, he might just be kind of having a good day, he might want to be going home for his dinner. It doesn't matter. If he's not doing it, you pull him. And I don't care who he is. I keep saying this. So who is a better striker for this system than Ronaldo? Well, Cavani. So you would start Cavani in this, but at the moment, I wouldn't start Cavani. Why? Because he's so much better as an impact sub. So I don't think Ronaldo would be better giving you 20 minutes in this system, because I don't think he comes on and gives you that high energy press. So start Ronaldo. So I'm happy with Ronaldo at the moment. So I think this is it, that anyone kind of sees that this word agenda, like, you know, I'm ringing up Cristiano and going, oh, Cristiano, I've got an agenda against you. It's rubbish, right? You know, you just wind it in. It's not real. It's about United winning football matches. And that's what this is about. It's not about pulling people and digging people out. It's about the system and getting United game to game to game to game to be better. If Cristiano want to come on the journey, and it looks like he does, I'm up for it. Get on with it. You know, you can do it, Cristiano. But if you want to stand in the middle and berate people, if you want to get substituted with 20 minutes to go and sit there like a child, I'm not having it. You're going to get criticised for it. It's the way it goes. Anthony Martial comes on yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit about him later on. He came on, and in his cameo, he helped Man United win. So forget last week. Forget all the jibber-jabber about staying, going, am I available? He helped Man United in that moment. You deserve praise. And that's how this works. If you score goals, you get assists, you help the shape of the team, you win matches, you get praised. That's how it works. And that's how I apply that to Cristiano and all of the players. We've talked about Bruno, haven't we, Haydar? We talked about Maguire a lot. We've talked about Rashford. We've given all these players a lot of stick. But when you give Ronaldo stick, the Viva Ronaldo's come out in force and they have to have their say. We're going to carry on as we are. There is no agenda. The only agenda is we want to win football matches.
I mean, look, we definitely disagree on the Ronaldo point, the part when you got substituted. That didn't bother me, you know, in terms of, yes, okay, maybe I see the point. He's 37 years old. He's got to set an example. Why is he having a tantrum? But ultimately, at the end of the day, what I was more impressed with, it was a non-story for me. The media jumping on it. You're seeing all these stories come out of Ronaldo. He gets the clicks. For me, what was the most impressive thing is two situations. Again, I think they've both been blown out of proportion. Ranić handled the Ronaldo situation phenomenally. I love that he kind of put his hand, like, he almost like, you know, look, I'm the boss. You know, you've watched the movie Captain Phillips. I am the captain. That's what I saw from Ranić. And then the Martial situation, very key off the end of the game yesterday. He said Martial's been training very, very hard. And he came on, had a very, very good cameo, very, very effective. And ultimately, that's the professionalism I want to see. This is what it's about. They're professionals, and this is what I want to see. Rangnick's not holding a grudge. Look, they had a conversation. They sorted it out, adults, and this is a problem. The fan base are so binary. There's no nuance. If you, so I had a little conversation with someone about Ronaldo, and I said, what I like love about Ronaldo is I love his mentality. He's come back. He wants to win, and that's a positive. I said, but he can't play every single football match for me. And Matt Rangnick needs to manage his minutes. Why? Because he's 37 years old. And in some games, Rob, ultimately, Cavani might be a better fit. Mason might be a better fit. He might decide he wants to go false nine with Bruno. You got to play the opposition. So if Ronaldo does sit out a game or he comes on for the last 10 or 20 minutes, it shouldn't be a problem. He doesn't have to start every single game. The problem is the fans, I don't know what it is. And it's not just with Ronaldo, Rob. It's with players that people like. If they like a player and another player is playing instead of them. And this is the problem. Maybe it's because we haven't had a defined and well-oiled system under Oli that we're almost focusing on individual players to basically win football matches for us. That now, I don't care who starts. Alanga's starting at the moment. He's not Marcus Rashford. But if he's doing the job and United winning football matches, I'm okay with that. I don't really have preferences. I like certain players over other players, but I want United to win. I want to see good football. I want to see structured football. So I don't know whether it's just a Twitter thing, but you know, you mentioned anything negative about Ronaldo, you hate Ronaldo. You mentioned anything, you know, for example, positive about Martial, he's lazy, he's moody. I said during the game, bring Martial on. Retention in the final third, link up play. He drives at defenses and we score the goal. And a lot of people saying he's moody. Why would you select him? And I said, he changes the game. So it's crazy. You say one thing and it's like, okay, so a sweeping statement about it. No, I don't think Martial should start every single week. I think he should come on because he'll offer something United don't have in that final third, which was retention. And we scored the goal and we won the game. So it's very strange. It's gonna carry on happening, but nuance is important, not binary statements.
Yeah, and I think the thing is with Cristiano is that, you know, just you used a key word there, professionalism. So Cristiano did an interview last week, very kind of well-publicized interview, kind of hinting and digging at the young players, not digging them out or being horrible, but saying they need to take on new ideas. You know, Rangnick might be the person to do it. He's kind of putting the emphasis on them. You know, they need to change. He's not talking about himself. Now, why should he talk about himself? He's a perennial icon. We know what he is. But that's why it hurts so much when your icon comes off the pitch, Haydar, and makes a big fuss for being substituted. And you've got the young players looking to him. So go and be a leader. Go and be professional. That's all we ask. Go and do the stuff that you've been brought to the football club to do. You're not an individual in this team. That's the way it has to work. And that's how Ronaldo will be successful. That's how Ronaldo will retain his place over other players. He won't do it on 20 years of football or what he did at Man United years ago. I saw someone mentioned about the 2009 strop where he came off and that was worse than it is now. Well, Man United in 2009 are like a completely different football club. What's the point in talking about that? We need leaders now. So I agree with you. Like, this is the whole thing. I don't love individual footballers and never have. You know, Cantona and Robson, they're my footballers that I love, just those two. And everyone else is fair game. If you play badly, you get criticised. And if you play well and you're unfashionable, I'll give you plaudits. I'll say you did well. That's why we've talked about McTominay and Fred and said they've done well in certain situations. They've done badly in other situations as well. But it's about us keeping it real. And I think Cristiano falls in that bracket. No agenda. And it's the same for all of them. Marcus Rashford has been getting pelters for weeks. If Marcus Rashford had come off the pitch with 20 minutes to go and done what Ronaldo did, people would have been asking him to be transfer listed. They would have done, but they'd have gone mad about it because it's again about favouritism as opposed to it being about reality. So holistic builds are good. I like Rangnick. I think he's doing the right things. You're right. He handled all that beautifully. And I think he handled it in the moment with Ronaldo. And it's over, isn't it? Like, we don't talk about it on the day. No one saw about that. Being substituted in the game before. We're just saying, right, Cristiano, start again, do your job. I think he did his job really well against West Ham. He worked hard. He played the system. He helped his players around him and he made those around him better. And that is the key. Players, your best players must help those around them to make them better.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. And I think that's how you have to assess our football, Rob. It's about, are they doing their role to the highest level? And are they helping the team? If they are, happy days. And that's it. Whether that's Martial playing in a position, whether it's Ronaldo, whether it's Bruno, whatever. I don't care. Do your role. Help the team. Be about the team. Win football matches. Yeah. Show passion. Show desire. Work hard. That's all we ask. And I'm sick and tired of Player FC. Look, I'm a big... I mean, look, you mentioned Cantona and Robbo, obviously. I'm younger than you. So when I grew up, it was Rooney, Ronaldo, really. Yeah. I mean, I absolutely love David Beckham, Ruud van Nistelrooy. They were my favorite players, Roy Keane. So for me, Ronaldo is that player. So, but, you know, as time has gone on this season, I've got frustrated at him. I've been like, you know, certain things he's done have frustrated me. And I'm much more like, right, okay, I need to maybe step away from my personal love for Ronaldo. It makes it sound a bit weird now, and think about what's best for the team. And there
sounds
are games.
Well, weird, mate.
It sounds very weird.
But it's football. This is how it is. This is how fans are. It's just, it's normal in football world.
Yeah. Let's touch quickly, you know, maybe 30 seconds on the goal. It was not offside. West Ham fans, relax, stop crying. Yeah. It's quite clear it wasn't. This is the line. This is how you do the line. I know that you've been drawing your own lines and saying he's offside. He wasn't offside, but really, really nice goal. Like you said, Tellez straight in, vertical pass into Ronaldo, laid it off beautifully. Martial, great run. Like you said, drop of the shoulder, lays it into Cavani. Lovely pass across. And Rashford was there. A lot of people have been saying, is Rashford better off that right-hand side? Because when he's on that right-hand side, and I know last season he scored quite a few goals from that right-hand side. When he's on that right-hand side, he makes those good runs in at the back post. You know, his shooting as well. He's less predictable. He likes to cut in, obviously, a lot off the left onto his right. You know, Marcus has had a really, really difficult time. But all in all, two goals in two games. I think Ranić's managed him very, very well. He has been frustrating. Came onto the pitch. First thing he did when he got the ball is run right directly into the right fullback, Kufal. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about confidence. And I think Ranić's handled that situation very well. I'm delighted because it's a beautiful team goal. And I want to see more of that.
Yeah, like obviously the slide here shows that it was onside. So again, all the chat that comes about, I sort of think Anton Ferdinand tweeted out, VAR is so inconsistent. It's like, I think VAR shows this is onside. So that's pretty consistent, isn't it? I think that what the other thing the slide shows, touching on and elaborating what you just said there, is that there is no width in this. This is four Man United players playing all between the channels. So the channel left, which is kind of to the side of where Martial is, and the channel right, which is to the right of Rashford. They, all four of them, went to the middle because that's where you score goals. That's where you score goals. That's where the best chances are. And Ranić is that type of coach. He talks a lot about percentages. How do you get the best percentage shot to score a goal? Well, you get it in between the two channels. That's where strikers want to operate. So what I really like about this slide is that Cristiano Ronaldo, who played the first pass in there to Martial, didn't try to be hero ball, didn't try to dribble it to the edge of the area, get past his man. Because if he gets past his man there, I think that's Declan Rice in front of him. He's got a shot, hasn't he? But it probably would have been a bad shot because it's a tough shot to make. Instead, he slid the ball in to Martial. And then Martial, what would Martial normally do under Ole here? He goes in on his right foot, doesn't need to get. See, those two West Ham players in front of him? He goes to the right to get round them and curls it round them. That's what he does all the time. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He slid the man in. So this tells me they're listening to Ranić, because this is what Ranić is coaching. Ranić is going overload the middle and then make the pass. He pays it to Cavani. Cavani could have shot. He didn't shoot. He slid it to Marcus. Marcus scores. That's the most striker goal that Marcus Rashford has scored in months and years, feels like, doesn't it? A tap-in at the far post. That's the kind of player that Marcus Rashford needs to become. Because if he does those tap-ins and gets those kind of goals, then when he gets the kind of beautiful goals, it means he becomes a more complete attacker. So I was really pleased with that. And it's the three substitutes. You know, they're the guys here in the box here coming to win you the game. We're coming on. We're going to give you that extra energy, a little bit of extra quality, and we're going to walk the ball in the net. That's what they did. And West Ham in that last minute, that, you know, I think David Moyes described his team as naive. I don't think they were naive. I think after 93 minutes, they were really tired. They thought Martial here was going to shoot, so they kind of stayed narrow, and that's why they got caught out. And of course, then Cavani is onside by a yard, well, inches, a yard maybe, but it doesn't matter. Onside is onside.
It's the sort of goal that Ollie was almost begging Martial and Rashford to score under his reign. I remember him saying, just get in the 6-yard box, gamble. And this is what the top strikers do. I know Marcus is an out and out number nine, but this is what you need these players to do. It's something that Cavani does to a T, but let's actually touch on Cavani now, Rob, now that we've got the graphic on the screen, because I mean, everyone's seen that video, the passion. I have a lot of respect and almost admiration for Cavani. And this is where the professionalism does come in, because obviously he does want to leave. Obviously, he's signed for Man United for another year. He has angled for a move, and that is something that does sometimes frustrate some fans. But when you look at his performances, you wouldn't think it. He gives 100% every time. He works so hard. The age of 34, he's a great player, like you said, to have off the bench. When he does start, he runs out of gas. We saw that against Wolves, didn't we, where him and Ronaldo up front. But what a great player to have in the squad. And I do want to touch on something with Ranić, because Martial's obviously a player that's been on the bench. He's come into a very, very difficult situation. He's come into a situation where a lot of leaks, unhappy players, especially fringe players, the likes of Van de Beek don't get minutes, Henderson, all these sort of players, Martial wanting to leave. He's had to come in, not much training time on the pitch. He's now got 13 days to really imprint his philosophy into the players, get them to understand those individual roles better, make sure the system is working to a higher level. But all these things considered, he's managed it very, very well. Performances have not been great. This is the best performance United have had probably since he's come in, most complete performance. But the way he's managing these fringe players and making them hungry is really, really positive for me.
Yeah, I think the record shows, I think it's 1-10. So it's showing that you're going in the right direction. I think a good coach, what they truly are in the sense of the business of football, is they are salesmen. They go to their players and they have to sell ideas to footballers. So here you all are, like, you know, we've got this slide up here, four Man United players in there, all multimillionaires, all highly lauded footballers. How do you sell your principles to these guys? It takes time because you need lots of conversations, lots of videotape. And the best example always is that if something works, you then that's the proof in the pudding. So if he's been telling Martial to do this all week in terms of driving inside and pulling the ball out, which is something that Martial doesn't normally do, that shows that that works. Martial's going to go home and think, that worked. I might do it again because I'm helping my team and it makes me feel good. So I think also here, just to kind of touch on, going back to what we were just saying here, the four Man United players in this slide, do you know what's really interesting is the one player who's not in this slide, and that's Bruno Fernandes. So Bruno Fernandes, normally, like you talked at the start of the show about Bruno having to do everything for Man United under Ole, and it's right. He was doing everything and it's not sustainable. In the last minute, you don't need Bruno Fernandes in the box. You need Bruno Fernandes in midfield, getting the ball going in the right direction. He doesn't need to be at the cutting edge here. It's better to leave the forwards to go and do that work. So that's the other thing I liked about it. So with Ranić, I think all of these conversations will carry on day to day to day to day. And it's about finding methods within the tactics. Formations can change every game. You can see a different shape every game, but the tactics are the same. Win the ball. Be quick in transition. Quick passes. Verticality, and also the speed at what you play, the tempo. This goal was all about tempo. It was a 93rd minute. United were knackered, and yet they made one play that allowed them with that tempo to score a goal.
Special moment as well in Old Trafford. I'm so jealous of you for being there, but it looked electric, absolutely erupted.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and you tweeted it. It was nice, not really nice tweet. Obviously, you took your son to the game as well. And those moments you remember. And it's been a really difficult season for Man United fans. Really difficult. You know, I've felt very low. I know we say don't get too high, don't get too low, but you just want to see a side that cares, a squad that cares. And I've said this, you know, for the past 2 months now, this squad hasn't shown that they care, and I've been very disappointed at that. But they did yesterday, and it's those little things. And when people say they want connections to football teams, I understand that. They want a connection to their manager, to these players. I haven't really felt that connection. For me, it's about winning. It's always about winning, playing good football and winning, being organised. That's rule number one. But I did feel a connection yesterday with these players in that game yesterday. And it's small steps. We always make sure that we can get too high. But two wins now on the trot, Man United are in top four. It's something to build upon, isn't it?
Yeah, you can get high in that moment. You score a goal in the last minute, get high, enjoy it. That's what it's about. But when we're talking about how a team wins and how a team gets from A to B, all of that space in between is what we do in this show. You know, we talk about the tactics, we talk about the method rather than just that kind of moment of amazing passion. You'd have seen it, a whole load of fan shows maybe yesterday and today where they're all loved up because you score a last-minute goal and they feel great, and that's all they want to talk about, and that's fine. But that's not what we do here. And the whole idea is we try to make sure in this show that we break it all down enough so people who maybe don't have the same, I don't want to say tactical knowledge, because I think that might sound a little bit, you know, it's not what I mean. It's more about kind of understanding that there's other stuff going on a football pitch that you might not see on a TV screen.
Absolutely. And look, there's a comment here saying, can we talk about Maguire? We will we be are. Talking about Harry Maguire now. Do not worry. Here he is, Harry Maguire. Someone that much maligned, Rob, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Someone who I've criticised a lot this season. Someone who I probably don't think should be Man United captain. Again, I think Rangnick's handled the situation very, very well. He's taken him out of team. I know they said he's injured. I do believe he's been taken out of the firing line. Lindelof and Varane have deserved to start. But you're looking at just his numbers here. I mean, look, 100% tackles won. Very early on, Maguire looked up for it. There was a really good intercepting tackle he made. I believe it was Antonio who got a breakaway very early in the game, first 5 minutes. United were struggling in that first opening 5 minutes or so of the game just to get a stronghold into it. But looking here, 66 passes completed, 9 long passes attempted, 6 long passes completed, 5 aerial duels won. You know, he is the best in the squad out of our centre-backs at doing that. 5 ball recoveries, 4 clearances, 1 interception. The question here is saying, you know, Varane and Maguire worked really well together. Maguire needed that for his confidence. Absolutely. But what I liked about Maguire, which we weren't seeing last season, is that he was carrying the ball into midfield, progressive carries. It's what he's very, very good at. While he might have deficiencies in terms of his speed and, you know, I would say agility, he does make some defensive mistakes. But there's no doubting that when he is progressive, Manchester United's attack in general is much, much better.
Harry Maguire was magnificent yesterday. I think I read a comment early on there saying that Maguire was not very good or something along those lines. From that first moment you just referenced there, the tackle against Antonio in the opening stages of the game, that was right in front of us, right in front of where I sit. And what was important about that was it set the game plan out for Harry Maguire for the whole game. It was that he wasn't going to take any you-know-what from West Ham's defence. They weren't going to run him. They weren't going to go on the outside of him. I think it only happened once late in the game where he scythed down the attacker and he got a yellow card for it. But in general, he went and met the matchup, whoever was in front of him. And he was stepping forward to defend rather than running back to defend. And that is the key, especially for less mobile centre-backs like him. Harry Maguire had a really good season last year. He was really, really good. He was a mainstay of why Man United got second in the league, got to a European final, England getting to the final of the European Championships. He was a massive part of that because of his quality. Harry Maguire is not a bad footballer, but he's been out of form. He's had an injury. He's had another rib injury recently, and that's why he's been sat on the bench. You said you think he's been taken out of firing line. I think it's just more of a case that United have been short on centre-backs and he's had to be sit on the bench. That's kind of how it goes. But he's needed a breather. He's needed to be able to get his own confidence back. And I think we saw that yesterday. Now, don't get too high. Don't get too low. Let's see what Maguire does in the weeks ahead, because I think that's more important than what he did yesterday. And it's always about trying to create consistency. But the good sign of it was that he was a leader on the pitch yesterday. He led the United team. You talked about the captaincy. I think sometimes fans feel more about the captaincy than teams do. It's more about individual leadership of how players do it themselves. It doesn't matter who wears that armband. It's not a, you know, it ain't, you know, you're in the schoolyard picking the team. You're just a figurehead on the pitch to be able to communicate with the people around you. Maguire did that yesterday. You could see the communication between him and Varane was really good. The communication to the fullbacks was really good. There was two or three times that, again, might not see it on telly, where he was pushing the fullbacks forward visually. He was getting the ball and he was going, go, because then it allows me to go forward with the ball. So he was doing all the technical stuff. I think it was a really complete performance by Maguire. I think that he kind of, all the things he does well, he did well. And he also mitigated maybe his weaknesses. And that's how he has to play. All players have to make sure they don't make mistakes. I think under Ole, Maguire was maybe sometimes trying to do too much and then getting found out. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you lose your confidence because you're trying to be that leader. I'm trying to do too much. I'm the governor. And everyone looks at you and go, well, no, you're not the governor. You're just a centre back. I want Maguire to just do the basics. Do the basics, get forward, progress the ball, and get your team winning football matches.
Big thing to add, Rob, and we talked about it earlier, defensive control. As centre backs, the team in front of you have to also do their side. They have to be compact. They have to be structured. They have to be organized. And so often under Ole this season, they weren't. And you almost feel sorry for those centre-backs as well, because, you know, if you haven't got the protection in front of you, it's still very, very difficult to play your game. So, look, I'm not taking away, you know, as in I'm not saying that he hasn't been poor this season. He's been really poor and he actually deserves to be dropped. And the United are actually in a very good situation because he's had a good game now. Lindelof's had a good season. Varane looked much more comfortable on that right-hand side, actually. I thought they played really well yesterday. You know, the opposition hardly has a sniff. Varane's phenomenal in one-on-one situations. His composure. And we talked about at the beginning of the season when we did the Varane special. We said one of the biggest things, you look at his stats. The eye test don't marry up with the stats because he's very low in terms of tackles and interceptions. But actually, it's because he's so good at staying on his feet, he doesn't dive in. Nice balance to that centre-back pairing. Obviously, very early days. It's just one game. But now also with Phil Jones emerging and has emerged, and he had a good game when he did play, United have now got four good centre-backs that they can pick from. So it's all about it's about getting these fringe players who aren't playing regularly, getting them motivated, getting them to believe that they can play games, giving them opportunities. Look at Alanga. He's playing because he's on merit. And this is what we didn't see under Ollie, unfortunately. Obviously, things were going poorly. You stick to what you know. You play the players that you trust and believe in and get you the result. And unfortunately, that means less rotation. So that for me is a positive, is that players, when they're getting taken out, recently they seem to be motivated to try and win their place back.
Yeah, and I think as well, like you just talked about Phil Jones, I think you need players, when they come into the squad, that they show up and give a performance, because that sends a message to the other players. So Harry Maguire's having a bad moment. Phil Jones comes in, has a good performance, and gets lauded just for doing the hard work, just actually coming to meet the ball, because that's what you want your centre-backs to do. Harry Maguire might have seen that and gone, I might need to do that a little bit more. So he did that against West Ham because he allowed the West Ham attack to get the ball, but in front of him. None of them were playing passes through him, and that didn't happen. So I think it's a really good performance from Maguire, doing Maguire things, and it shows there is some hope for him. This is it. Now he can play this system. He has to play his role within it. Ironically, you mentioned Varane. I thought Varane was okay yesterday, whereas I thought Maguire was the guy that held it together. So Varane, two or three times, did get caught on the ball, did get caught kind of not making the correct pass, turning inside sometimes when he didn't need to. He needed to go outside, whereas Maguire didn't. Maguire did all the technical stuff perfectly, and it was Varane, who's supposedly the technical player, who actually was making the odd mistake. But that's okay, because you don't concede a goal, you get a clean sheet, and you win the football match.
Good comment here saying it's all about the structure under Ollie in the last months. Front four didn't have defensive structure, which left Nick Fred with acres of space to cover. Now that we have structure, they all look better. And that's what it's about. Yeah. And we've been saying that all game. And now we're going to talk about another player here, Rob. Diogo Dalot. Fantastic performance. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, about a week ago, where after the Villa game, you said, can't defend on the back foot. His day.
Unpickable, I called him. Unpickable.
Yeah. And since then, against Brentford, he was very good. And then man of the match yesterday as well. Just looking at some of his statistics here, I mean, look, it's so important how he gets forward on the front foot. He's just streets ahead of Wan-Bissaka. Several times, playing that one-touch pass back inside, or he's looking to beat his man. These are really important things for United. The right-hand side now suddenly looks like it's a threat. I mean, looking at some of the statistics here, 6 ball recoveries, 4 tackles, 4 clearances, take-ons, 2 out of 3. Successful take-ons, 2 chances created, 2 interceptions, 2 shots. Really impressive performance by Diogo Dalot. And, still question marks whether he's a long-term option. But right now, as it stands, he is the first choice at right back.
He is. And the things, just to kind of touch on why I called him unpickable last week, was in those moments where United got done with the 2 goals. What was the match? Which game was it? I'm trying to think. I've completely lost the plot.
Villa.
But it was Villa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So in that moment, Dalot basically reneged his defensive work. So he'd been all right on the front foot, but in that moment, he did the classic turn away. I'll show you inside. Oh, you've scored inside now. That's not my fault. Well, it is your fault. What you saw yesterday, and also against Brentford, is that he's doing his defensive work first and then doing the attacking work. So I thought defensively yesterday against West Ham, he was really good. He was really good because he came narrow. He helped the centre-back when he needed to. But also, importantly, he played the system correctly and played the tactics correctly. So he is the first choice now. I think that is obvious. I think Wan-Bissaka has got to show a lot more on both the back foot and the front foot for Aaron. I think that he's struggled probably more than most out of the back end of the Solskjaer era. And he needs to do more of what Dalot is doing. So this is how the team works, isn't it? Is that Dalot, who was a reserve, is putting pressure on the starter, and now Dalot is the starter. That is good. That's how football teams should operate. On the other flank, you know, Tellez yesterday, I thought, was the kind of opposite of what Delo was doing. And Delo was pushing the ball high because that's his job. But Tellez was getting caught deep. Even for the goal where Tellez gets Ronaldo going, Tellez is too deep. Don't get the ball back there. And he has to play a long ball, doesn't he? And it works. And I think what you'll see is in the weeks ahead is that obviously Luke Shaw has been injured and hasn't been available. Is that Luke Shaw walks straight back in this team as it stands because Tellez isn't doing enough. Whereas on the other flank, Delo is doing more than enough. And it means that Wan-Bissaka will be the guy sat on the bench. So that's a kind of tale of two fullbacks. And I think it shows maybe the differences. And they're very slim differences. I don't think Tellez played badly. I just think that Tellez isn't giving you enough on the front foot. And that's kind of what you want him there for. He's too scared still defensively because he's weak defensively and he knows it. So he's showing a little bit of fear in that moment. Luke Shaw is a much more rounded left back. He'll charge forward. He'll charge back. Much more energy, much more tactical now as well in the Premier League. Kind of knows what the guys inside him want to do. Also knows what the wingers want to do in front of him. And I think that you see Luke Shaw in his experience, you'll see that he'll just walk straight back in the team.
I agree with that. I think United's number one fullback pairing will and should be Dallo and Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw's more progressive, Rob. And look, Tellez has had decent performances, but I do think that it will be Luke Shaw coming back in. I'm quite excited about that because then you've got two progressive, good ball carrying fullbacks is what United need. I mean, look, the top fullbacks in the league, the likes of Reece James, you're looking at Andy Robertson, Trent. Mm. And Cancelo, they're playing for the two top teams in the league. And that's where United have to be. The fullbacks are so important. They need to provide width in the system. And this is what United need to improve going forward.
Yeah, and those wing-backs are effectively the midfielders. That's what you are. You're not a defender. It's not a back four. You are effectively being midfielders who then have to come back, track back to help the defence. So that's a big systematic difference to the 4-2-3-1 that Ole played. Because they were kind of being fullbacks, traditional fullbacks, going forward, coming back, getting the shape back in that six. So it'd be 4-2-3-1, the four and the two. That's not there anymore. That's a different system. That system is gone. So this helps people like Delo and Tellez, doesn't it? And the bit I said I was disappointed with Tellez twice in the game, because again, it was on our side of the football pitch, was that the ball was on the far right-hand side where United created an overload with Delo. And Delo was crossing the ball to the back post. And Tellez was 40 yards back, too far out. And I was looking at that and going, if you've got Alonso there from Chelsea, Alonso is coming in like a steamroller at the back post, and he probably gets two free headers and you score. So that's a difference, you see. That's what Luke Shaw will then now be tasked with in that moment when there's an overload on the right-hand side. You're a midfielder. You have to get forward. You have to get into the box and score a goal. Think about the goal that Luke Shaw scored for England in the final, the Euro Championships, arriving late, goes to the right-hand side, I think Trippier, crosses it in. Luke Shaw arrives at the back post, puts it in the net. That's what modern fullbacks are supposed to do.
Absolutely. And Rob, let's move on now to the final topic. We've got to give these two their dues, Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford. Now, a lot's been said about both players. Again, a lot of people really, really like Martial. A lot of people really don't like Martial. There's no balance in between. Marcus Rashford's taken a lot of stick. Both players thrive when they play together. Under Ole, you know, when we finished second, they were both fantastic. And they were both players who like playing together, good link-up play. One of the things I liked, and we mentioned earlier about what Ranić has done, is Ranić has brought Martial back into the fold. It's a conversation. These are adults. These are professionals. Have the conversation. You know, there was obviously a bit of a war of words in terms of, you know, Ranić saying Martial refused to play. Martial was on social media saying, I didn't refuse to play, whatever. But they sorted it out and he was back on the bench. He came on, he had impact. And I said during the game, we need someone like Martial to come on because of his movement, his ball retention or his ball security. His link-up play is very, very important. Something that we didn't have on the pitch. Elanga was pressing very well, but on the ball, you know, he wasn't really doing very much. Mason, again, you know, they worked hard, but wasn't really giving much in terms of end product. And they needed something a bit different. And Martial and Rashford did come on also with Cavani. And that's very bold by Ranić to make those substitutions to really go for it and to win the game. I really, really enjoyed that. I mean, there's comments saying here, we're going to talk about Pogba. We spoke about Pogba today on this podcast. We're both very excited for Pogba to come back. So we won't touch on it now. We did talk about him a little bit earlier on. But, you know, Martial, Pogba, Sancho, all players with fantastic retention. You know, good ball security, good ability to play one-touch football. It's what United need in their squad. These players are coming back as well. But Martial and Rashford, what are their roles now? Because they're probably going to be pushing for a starting spot. But you've got to pick on merit. Now, I quite like them off the bench. It gives you a little bit of firepower and you can change a game. When you look at what Alanga and Greenwood did, I quite liked what they did initially. They started, they were pressing, we were trying to control the game. And then we brought on our firepower, our game changers, Cavani, Rashford and Martial to win the game. And I think that's okay. You know, that sometimes that strategy works. Don't need to start week in, week out. But I like Rashford off the bench personally. I think Martial should be pushing now for a starting position.
It's a squad game ultimately. So, you know, you talk about these two players. Neither of these two players are happy being part of any squad where they're the subs. So that's the first thing. So we talk about, you said there as well about professionalism and Ranić and how he handled stuff. That's the conversations that happen all the time. These players say, I want to start games. And the manager says, okay, you want to start games? Do as I tell you. If you do as I tell you, you'll start games. So this is the whole book of it. Like you just said there, you like Rashford off the bench. Marcus Rashford's not going to be happy being on the bench. But if Marcus Rashford starts scoring lots of goals, he scored two now in two, Marcus Rashford's going to start starting matches again. So this is how it works. It's about playing yourself into form. And then when you get opportunities as a sub, you start to show the manager that you'll have value in the starting 11. So Martial, I don't think, has stepped closer to the starting 11. However, I think probably in the cup game, he probably starts because you're going to rotate. And I think that if Martial can do even half of what Alanga does in terms of energy, I think Martial has the individual qualities to then be a bigger piece of the pie. Yeah, so Martial as a footballer is better than Alanga, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about positions and tactics. So you go and fulfill the manager's tactics, Anthony Martial will play. Yesterday, he comes on a football pitch. He's been told something very simple to do. Get the ball down, get the ball in the back of the net. It's kind of quite easy, isn't it? Got a few minutes left, go and be a hero. And what was really key, like you touched on earlier in the podcast about what Ranić said about Martial, the one thing I clocked while we were celebrating at the final whistle, because we were all going completely mad, stadium going crazy, that Ranić ran on the football pitch and he ran to Anthony Martial, the first person he ran to, hugged him like a father figure. There's nothing wrong with those two. Nothing. It's rubbish. So we talk about some things being non-story sometimes, and I do think that was a kind of non-story. It was right worth talking about because Martial challenged it publicly. But ultimately, this is the manager's team. This is Ralph Ranić's team. And if you do things for Ralph Ranić, he's going to run on that football pitch and show the world that he loves you in that moment. And he hugged Martial. And you can see Martial's a bit too cool for school. He was a bit like, oh, all right, boss. You know, and even when we scored the goal, Martial was the one who was kind of still walking around in the corner flag, celebrating with the players, obviously. But the other players are like going absolutely wild. And there's obviously that scene that United put out in the corner flag where they're all on their knees and going crazy with Marcus Rashford after scoring the goal. But that's just who Martial is. That's the kind of player he is, that's the kind of person he is. Ranić understands that. He'll respect him as a human being and as a man and treat him like that. Go and do your work. You will play games. He might still have a future. You don't know. At Man United, if he can train hard and start scoring goals, start getting assists, we've seen funnier things happen in football. You know, and I think Anthony Martial showed in that little cameo that he does have a use at Man United, either off the bench or potentially as a starter at times. And just to touch on Marcus, you know, he said something after the game about playing your way into form. He was like, as a striker and as an attacker, there's nothing better than when you start to feel your game come back. And what he meant by that was that putting the ball in the net is the best medicine for any player. Put the ball in the net, you know you're doing things right. You're getting there. And I think Marcus Rashford will almost definitely, in the weeks ahead, if he's fitter, stronger, he will be a starter, because I just think that his upside in both his work when he's healthy and his finishing when he scores goals, like 28 goal involvements last year, it's like top 10% in Europe for his position. So when people say Rashford can't finish, Rashford's rubbish, well, the stats last year were really, really good and he scored 2-2 now. So now the idea for Marcus Rashford is go and do more of it. Play the system, do what the manager wants you to do, shut the fans up that keep getting on your back.
Final word, Rob. Been a very in-depth show. We've talked about a lot, obviously. We've spoken about the system. We've talked about tactics. We've talked about importance of those fundamentals in Ranić's philosophy, winning the ball back, playing vertical football, getting the ball forward, being compact, well organized, and you know, obviously great performances by Maguire and Dalot. Cavani, great impact off the bench with Martial and Rashford, all three very, very involved in the game. 13 days now till we play against Middlesbrough in the FA Cup, and then we've got Burnley after that. Really, really important for the players to obviously recover, enjoy this as well, because it's been a really tough season. This is the thing, a lot of people were saying to me after the game, oh, well, it was 93rd minute winner or whatever it was. And I said, enjoy it. We haven't had much to cheer about this season. We've been shocking. Let's be honest. Some really bad performances. Yesterday was as complete as we have been all season. And it was the best performance under Ranić. He's slowly, you know, he's having these, you know, situations. Obviously, we've spoken about Ronaldo and the Martial situation. There are a few players that do want to leave as well. We might see Lingard go. But he's managing these off-the-field stuff well, in my opinion. I like how he's direct in press conferences. I like his searing honesty. And I don't have a problem with that. I used to get frustrated and Ollie used to speak in cliches. I'm like, just say it how it is. Mm. He knows how to build a football club. Yes, last week we were sitting here thinking, oh, this is really terrible in terms of what we're seeing. So we don't want to get too high, don't get too low. But the last few games are definitely cause for optimism. They're definitely are signs that United, and especially the players, are getting used to the system. The system's looking more fluid, looking more dynamic. So all in all, it's something to build off, and that's key. United are back in the top four. I mean, I said in the last masterclass against Villa, no chance of getting top four. I still think that, I honestly think that Spurs, and you laughed at me like you just did now. Spurs obviously look pretty ominous, I think, under Conte. Had a few hiccups, but when you look at the statistics, barring Manchester City, Man United and Spurs are the two teams that picked up the most points. So while it isn't the most obvious manager bounce, there has been a manager bounce. One loss since Ollie's gone. Obviously, we factor in Carrick's games as well. I mean, it is 2.13 points per game for Man United since Ollie has gone. It's definitely something to build upon. And I think United need to buy a couple of midfielders or a midfielder in January. But there's definitely signs of improvement and foundations.
Yeah, look, it'd be nice if Man United go and make some moves in the transfer market. We know this. It would help immensely to bring in one or two that could solidify that midfield and maybe get you some more creativity in the final third, maybe get you even some goals. My final word is this, but it's the word I've been saying for a little while now. Give Ralf Rangnick a contract. Keep him at the football club as the coach. I know there's other coaches out there. Let's stop living in dream world of what our preferences are. You've got to look at what works today, tomorrow, the following week, and the following week after that. I think we're seeing enough from Ralf Rangnick in this 10-game spell that in a very short space of time, that he's building something that is achievable and something that is attractive. So I think we're looking at this system solidity, but flexible, players coming into form, listening to the manager, tactical nous. We're seeing things that we talk about on this show now becoming reality. But what's the point in giving this guy a mandate to do it for 4 months and then going and starting again? Because that's what this means. So I get the people want Pochettino. I get the people want I saw Ned Hansi Flick. I get that people kind of looking at Ten Hag. I get that people, we've talked about Diego Simeone recently. I get that people want other people. But go with what you've got and see what happens. You know, Ralf Rangnick knows that this is a massive opportunity for him to kind of show that he's not just this kind of generational coach that did well at these smaller football clubs. This is a massive chance for him at Man United. I think he's hungry. And I think you see that in the way he talks, the way he coaches, and the way that his teams play. They play with aggression. They play with style. They play with function. But it's about winning games. So 10 games, one defeat. As you said, 2.3 points per game is an elite return for most clubs. We can talk about Conte till we're blue in the face of Tottenham. Conte's not doing any better. Man United are fourth. Tottenham are not fourth. So this is the whole point of when we measure these things. I think for me, I want to see this Rangnick project extended. And I will forsake Pochettino, Haydar. You know, I like Pochettino. I'd love him as Man United manager one day. But on this occasion, when you've got such a good coach already at your football club, go and empower the guys at your football club, the manager at your football club, and the dream can continue. You know, Pochettino in the future, great. He's at a football club. You know, we always look to the next shiny, exciting toy. What if we've already got the most shiny, exciting toy already in our dugout? I think we have. I want to go with Ranić. I think he's getting it right. I like how Man United are playing. And I hope that this game against West Ham is a catalyst for these boys to believe in Ranić more and take the next step.
Guys, fantastic. So thank you for all your comments as well. Thank you for all the likes, you know, for all the subscriptions, for all the retweets as well when you see this on Twitter. It really, really does help us. It really helps us to understand also what content you like. You're the reason why we do this show. So do drop us a message on Twitter under any of the links you see of the show, and let us know what you want to see. I know there's been a lot of question regarding sort of Ranić and you know, what we think in terms of transfers and things like that. So when there are transfer shows, we will do transfer shows. When there are legitimate rumors or reports, Rob, we will do them. That's how we do our shows. I know a lot of you have been asking. We will do one on Ten Hag, Rob. I'll let you have to say a little word on this. But ultimately, you know, unless there's something more concrete on Ten Hag, then we're going to focus on the team, really, essentially, and what Ranić's doing.
Yeah, we will do the shows that you want to see. So keep communicating with us. And I keep saying to people, you know, just individually, but also obviously on all our shows, that it's really important to us that you subscribe to the channel and that you tell people, because word of mouth is the best way to grow anything. So we want to do more shows for you. We want to do more masterclasses. We'll focus on managers when we need to focus on them and looking at systems. We did the Diego Simeone one because I think that that's something you're all going to start hearing a lot more about in the next few weeks, especially when Man United are playing Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. But we'll also focus on players. So the transfer window is coming to a close now. Man United will be linked with more players, as they always are. But please keep helping us grow. You know, so as I said, if you've got Man United friends who, you know, and you love our channel and you love our shows, we have so many people join us live now for every show. Please go and knock on the door of your friends and say, hey, subscribe to this channel. You might like this content if you're a United fan. And we'll keep doing it for you. As I said, message us. You know, our comments were going mad here, you know, 20 minutes before the show even started. So thank you all for that. And we appreciate every one of you that joins us.
Absolutely. And as always, guys, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Give us a follow on at TF Masterclass. Give myself a follow on Hader_Rovani. And give Rob a follow at @Rob_B. Man United, 2 wins on the bounce. 4th now in the league. Could they get Champions League? Only time will tell. See you next time.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.